Blog Talk Radio.
The helmet of salvation on this evening.
And so we are going to jump into that precept here. We pray that everyone is ready to eat from the word of the Most High on this evening. The Feast of the New Moon for May. Let me look this up real quick. And I see that my site is not up. That's not a good thing. Give me a hot second here. Should be close to the end of this month. It was a weird month. The new moon service. Give me a hot minute. Let me bring the website up. And how are you sisters doing?
Good.
Amen.
Yes, sir?
I'm good. I can't complain, my sister. I wouldn't if I could.
I know. It wouldn't do no good.
Amen. Right. God's good no matter what.
Come on.
He's good no matter what. So this
no
little
matter,
bit,
the good and the bad is mixed. Brother Miles, when the good and bad mixed together, you can't tell it.
Amen. Amen.
Well, it's all good.
It's all good. I hear you. Let's see. What am I looking for? Oh. Yes, I wouldn't complain.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
And my machine is taking this time, so I'll come back to that. And to give that, I guess, that program time to load up, or there it is. Yeah, we should have the new moon service coming up here soon. I want to make sure I start reminding people. Sounds like somebody got a smoke alarm that needs a new battery.
Not me.
Not me either.
Well, I hope it ain't coming out of my house.
Huh.
I just changed all those batteries. Let's see, this is taking kind of forever. All right, so we're going to go ahead and I'll come back to this after this. After my website boots up. And so we want to welcome you all out to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. Sabbath evening lesson. As I said, we're still in the armor of the Most High, and we're going to be working on the helmet of salvation on this evening. So we're going to go ahead and if you guys will mute your ends, that way I don't get the feedback through your speakers over the line, and if you mute your end, then I will not hear a feedback, and that'll be good, because there's nothing like hearing yourself talk, not unless you like to hear yourself. I'm not one of those. So we're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith. Happy Sabbath to everybody, once again, and do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration. Well, let me have you ladies to cover your head. Men, uncover your head, wherever you're at in the world, and turn toward the east. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments. according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on the day, because truly he is worthy. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. We just glorify you, Father. We magnify you. We lift you up. We glorify your name on today, Father, for truly you are worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. You are our creator and our redeemer. You are our restorer, Father, and we just love you on today. And we glorify you, Father. We glorify you. We glorify you. Glory. 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 Hallelujah to you, O Yah. Glory. Hallelujah to you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We just thank you on this day. We thank you for just giving us an opportunity to come together and to worship you, Father. We thank you for giving us a sound mind that will be on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. We thank you this day. Oh, yeah, our Elohim. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways, and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishments that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all those that are called within Mashiach, Father, that you will give them a mind to come and obey your voice and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this evening, we ask that you will smile upon this work and that you will give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Let us go to the book of 1 Kings. Chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 46. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. Starting in verse 46, and I'm going to personalize this on this evening. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. And yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our hearts and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive us thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee, and forgive us, and give us compassion before them who have carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, that thou hast brought us forth out of the land of Egypt. from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee, but to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah, thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And the book of John, chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen.
Thank you. I'm telling you what. us now, now that we're here, here in your presence. We're waiting to hear you. Now that we're here in your presence, humbly we bow. Speak to us now. Now that we're here in your presence.
Oh, unrealized, full of dreams, unrealized, with no strategy given, full of songs, full of businesses that could have changed the world, but I held on to it because I got comfortable and I got complacent. But when I get to heaven, I want to hear him tell, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear, because I know that I've done everything that I'm supposed to do. So I say this, I want to live a life poured out. 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 Come on, dear Greek, say. believed it. I believed it. If I didn't believe this, why do I be standing up here? There's no reason to keep coming week after week after week and hearing the same thing over and over. If we don't believe that what we get on the inside of us can change the world, if we don't believe it, we can stop coming.
As we are going into a new precept in the armor of the Most High, speaking on the helmet of salvation, let us go over our foundations of discipleship real quick. The definition of a disciple, one who accepts and assists in the spreading the doctrines of another, such as Christianity, one of the 12 in the inner circle of Christ, followers according to the gospel account. A convinced adherent of a school or an individual, like a disciple of Freud. What is the meaning of discipleship? A disciple has been shown to be someone who follows the teachings, the life, and the aim of another until the person becomes like the master. Discipleship is the Christian sense. In the Christian sense, is the process of making someone become like Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach, the disciples of Christ. Is to become like Christ in everything. So that's a disciple. And in a simple term, a pupil, a student. So discipleship is for male and female. And we have to understand that everyone is to become a disciple of Mashiach. That is what we're trying to do. And so he tells us if we're going to become his disciple, there's some things that, you know, we got to know. So let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. We're going to get verses 9 through 17 or 18, 9 through 17. Matthew, chapter 13, verse 9. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But unto them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever has not, from him it shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and they hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. So it is not given that the mysteries of the kingdom, the gospel, the word is not given to everybody to understand it. It's not given to everybody to, everybody will hear it, but not everybody will understand it. It's not given to them to understand. So if you understand that you have to give your all, if you understand that you have to want this with your whole heart, then blessed are you. If you think that you can get by and just give the Most High whatever you want to give him, then I can tell you right now it is not given to you to understand the gospel of the kingdom or to be his disciple. The book of Matthew, chapter 6. The book of Matthew, chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of Elohim and the righteousness and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what every believer has to do first. First things, you got to seek the kingdom of the Most High. And the Most High's righteousness, what he says is right. And then he says, all these other things shall be added unto you. The book of Matthew, chapter 13, we're going to get verses 44 through 46. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, in which when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So the kingdom of heaven, in order to be a disciple of Messiah, you got to first seek the kingdom, and then you got to value it and be willing to pay your all, to give your all for the kingdom. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You got to value the kingdom, the most valuable thing that you can possess. It's worth everything that you got to get into it, to stay in it. And if you don't value the kingdom that way, your heart is not going to be right before the Most High. You're not going to desire the kingdom the way that he wants you to desire it. You're not going to be able to do what he wants you to do, which is to give your all. If it's not the most valuable thing in your life, you're not going to give it your all. You're not going to seek it first. You're going to search what's most valuable to you. That's why it says that the kingdom is like a treasure. It's like a pearl of great price. Verse 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant seeking a goodly pearl. When he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So it's got to be the most valuable thing in your life. And if it's not the most valuable thing, you're not going to seek it first. You're not going to put the proper value on it. Something else is going to be worth more to you than the kingdom. Then you're not going to make, you know, he's going to tell you flat out, you just can't be his disciple. Not that you're going to make a poor disciple, you cannot be his disciple. Psalms 119 and verse 2. The book of Psalms 119 and verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Got to seek the kingdom with your whole heart. Got to seek the Most High with your whole heart. Seek his kingdom first and his righteousness and make him the most valuable thing in your life. Without those values, you will not make it as his disciple. Psalms 119, Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. And I will give them a heart to know me, all those that seek him with their whole heart. He'll give them a heart to know him, that I am Yah, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim. I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. This is what every saint has to come to the Most High with. Their whole heart. Not you can't be undecided, you can't be in between, you can't be trying to make up your mind, you can't be stuck on that. You can't be, you know, I'm studying to learn. When you hear that you're a sinner and that you have offended the creator of the universe, then you need to come with him and at him with your whole heart. You need to have godly sorrow and understand that you have offended the creator of everything, the Most High God, the Most High Elohim. When you do that, then he will open up to you. Then he will let you know him. Other than that, you're going to be fumbling around in the dark, hearing this doctrine and this wind and that wind, being shifted around by every wind of doctrine. But if you're seeking him with your whole heart, then he'll open up to you and he'll let you know what truth is. He'll let you know what it takes to serve him. He'll open up your heart and your mind to him that you would know him. Go to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, we're going to get verses 26 through 32, or 33. Yeah, 26 through 33. If any man come to me and hate not his father, nor his mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, even in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, this is Messiah speaking. And you can't love anybody more than him. And if you love anything more than him, if he's not the most valuable thing in your life, if the kingdom is not the most valuable thing in your life, and he's not the most valuable person, then you cannot be his disciple. That's just plain and simple. Not the words of Brother Miles, but the words of Messiah himself. Verse 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross, bearing your cross is doing what it takes to serve him, giving up what you have to give up to serve him, giving him what he wants, what he says he wants. That's your cross, doing what he says to do. And come after me, cannot be my disciple, cannot be a follower of mine. You got the whole world crying about they're following Messiah, but do they understand what it takes to follow him? It's not a matter of saying, I believe. You know, they're reading the scripture, say, well, if you believe, we're going to read some of this stuff tonight, then you shall be saved. But if you truly believe, then you got to read the entire scriptures and understand that he says of himself, hey, if you not willing to take up your cross and bear the burden of what it's going to take to follow me, if you're not going to put me as number one in your life, truly number one, or even above your own self, you can't be my disciple. That's a rough saying. But this is what it takes to be his disciple. For which of you intend to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Least happily, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all beholding it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. This person said that they heard the gospel, that they realized that they were a sinner, realized that they have to seek the kingdom of the Most High, but didn't consider what it was going to cost them. Didn't consider that it was going to cost them their whole heart, that they were going to have to give their all to Messiah, to the Most High. Their all, not a piece of them. Couldn't love themselves more than they love him. Couldn't love, you know, can't say, well, you know, my father or my mother, you know, they're in trouble. My daughter, my son, my sister, my brother, my wife. See, when we come to Messiah for what he has done for us, he says this is what's required. This is not optional. It's not something optional. So you got to sit down and say, am I willing to pay this price? Because this is what it's going to take. And if you don't give it to him, you can't say that he's got to take you. You can't say that he's got to find you acceptable because you tried. No, he says you cannot be. This is what it takes. You got to consider the cost. And once you calculate the cost and you know what it's going to take, then you got to make a conscious decision that I'm going to give my all. I'm going to give my life. I would give my life if I had to, if he called for me to. And as these evil days approach, a lot of so-called saints are going to find themselves in that position where their life is going to be threatened for the word of Yah and for the testimony of Yeshua. And they're going to fall short because they're going to love their life more than they love him. It's coming. It is at the door. Trust me when I say this. It is at the door. How many years? How many days? It could be any time now. And so we need to understand that he's saying this is what it takes. Can't just hear the gospel and say, I believe in Messiah. I'm saved, and that's all it's going to take. Because he's looking for those that want him and that really want him, who sit down and consider the cost. It's going to take my all. Everything that I have, everything he blessed me with. Verse 30, or verse 31. Or what king going to make war against another king sits not down first and consults whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000? You in a war, and we've been talking about that war is mainly in your mind. The battlefield is in your mind and whether you get the truth so that you can make good decisions concerning this battle that you're in, that you have the tools to fight with, so that even when you are properly equipped and you go out to do battle against Satan in the world, the powers to be, that you are not struggling within your own self. See, the Most High saves us out of something only to send us back into it. So if you were a prostitute, then he'll send you back into that world to pull out other prostitutes. If you were a drug dealer, he'll send you back into that world to pull out other drug dealers, people who are suffering, who you can witness to, who you can identify with the spirit that's in them, because it was once in you. So he will send us back into what he pulled us out of. But if you are double-minded, if you haven't truly been saved, you can't go back into that. If you were an alcoholic and he sends you back into a bar, you might get a drink or two or three. You might find yourself doing that old man showing back up, or the same old man showing back up because you didn't 100% convert. You didn't learn to fear the Most High and put him first, so that fear of him would keep you from, oh, I'm not taking that drink. Oh, no, I'm not going back into getting this quick money. Oh, no, I'm not selling no drugs. I'm not selling myself. I'm not going to go rob somebody. The fear of him, you would have considered that cost, and now he can send you back, and now you can be a witness and tell people, this is what the Most High did for me. This is how he saved me. And if he can save me, he can save you. Our testimony should not be that we're still struggling, that, you know, we're only human and we make mistakes, because he's not trying to hear we make mistakes. Only mistakes he's trying to hear we make are those that are ignorant mistakes. He's not trying to hear that, oh, I know what I'm doing wrong and I'm going to do it anyway. I tripped and fell, Most High. I was tempted with it. And I struggled and I failed. He's not trying to hear that, because we knew better. He doesn't give, you know, I don't know where people are getting that from, but he doesn't give leeway for that. So clearly, these people don't understand. They haven't heard. You love that drug. You love that bottle. You love that woman. You love that tail. You love whatever more than you love me. They haven't heard. They have not understood. He doesn't make leeway for that. So he says, what you don't know, that I'll forgive you for. But what you do know that you're not supposed to be doing and you're doing it, I'm not forgiving you for that. There's no blood for that. And so we got to understand that we, once we come to him, we have to know what we're getting into. Got to seek his kingdom first. Got to seek it with our whole heart. He's got to be the most valuable entity and thing in our life. We have to know that, and we have to sit down. He doesn't want people to come to him and they haven't considered what it's going to take. Because as soon as they start falling short, then, you know, they're going to think that he's got to accept them, and he doesn't have to. And truth of the matter is, he probably won't. That's why he says we have to know. And it was not given to the masses to understand this. Wasn't given to everyone to understand. So you got a lot of people saying they're following Messiah, but not understanding what he's calling for. And when they come before him, I hate to say it, he's going to say, get away from me. He's not going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. He's not going to say, oh, it was all right, you tried. You're going to be like that man with the one talent that buried it. The Messiah said, take it from him and give it to the one that has 10, that will do something with it. That's a doer of the word and not just a hearer. So, yeah, he knows our weaknesses. He don't expect us to stay in our weaknesses. He don't expect us to come to him fully. He's telling us, got to give your all. You want to belong to me, you got to give your all. Verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. It takes everything we have. The Most High says, what I'm offering you, you got to give me your all. You can't give me what you think is okay. I'm telling you what I want. And if you're not giving me your all, you cannot be my disciple. If you're not willing to give up all to bring about my kingdom, you cannot be my disciple. You put father, mother, sister, brother, husband, wife, uncle, auntie, dog, cat, bird, anything before me, even your own self, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot be a follower of me. You cannot be my pupil. So how are we trying to become Christ-like? How are we trying to become Mashiach-like if we're not doing what he says? It's like, you know, you look on TV and you see, let's say, the Karate Kid, and he is trying to become like his master. He's trying to learn wax on and wax off. And while he's learning, you know, it's understood you're learning. And the Most High understands when we're learning. But once we have learned something, we are accountable for it, and we have to give it our all. So Messiah is telling us, you want to be like me? You're supposed to be endeavoring to become Christ-like, to be Mashiach-like. You want to follow me? I require your all, period. Your wealth, whatever I bless you with, I require it. I gave it to you for the purpose of doing my will in the earth. I didn't give it to you to consume upon yourself. I didn't give it to you to consume upon your family. I gave it to you to bring about my will in the earth. It's going to be a hard thing for a lot of people. That's what it takes to be his disciple. And so to he that has an ear to hear, let him hear and let you understand. That's what it takes. Nothing less. You know, ask yourself. And, you know, and we really should ask, each one of us should ask ourselves this. Why should the ruler of heaven and earth, why should not just the ruler of heaven and earth, but the creator of heaven and earth and everything in between, why should he have to settle for anything that he created that's not giving him his best, giving him its best? Whether it's the stars, if they're not giving their best, or the moon, or the earth, or man, or the angels, or the demons, whatever he created them for, why should he have to accept it? The only thing that he does that with is with man, because he said, that's my child. And I'm going to give my child a chance to come forth and to manifest into their godhood. Because he's a God. He made us a God. Did you not know that ye are gods and the scriptures cannot be broken? But he will not let us step into our godhood being evil, being wicked, being unrighteous, not obeyers of his law, disobedient to him. Ain't going to happen. So we got to understand that. To him to have an ear to hear, let him hear. The Most High wants our all. You don't have to accept anything less. And we should not want to give him anything less than the best. You know, I know people that will give their all to a man or a woman. But when it comes to the Most High, they just, you know, throw something up to him. And that's supposed to be acceptable. But it's not. And so we need to know that it's not. So those are our foundations. Seek the kingdom first and Elohim and his righteousness. Make him the most valuable thing in your life. Seek him with your whole heart. Consider the cost of what it's going to take you to do that. And understand it's going to cost you your all. You know, if you look at the website, and I've said this for a long time now, this gospel is free. But the kingdom is going to cost you your all. And if you're not willing to give your all, you don't want the kingdom. No matter what you say. If I'm hiring for a job and I tell you that these are the requirements for the job, and you come and apply for the job and then you see what the requirements are, then you got to do what I want done and you got to meet the requirements, or I can reject you. I can say, "Oh, I'm firing you. You don't meet the, you know, you don't meet the standards." I might say, "Oh, you're meeting the standards, but you're meeting the minimum standards. Yeah, you're showing up to work on time, but you're not really going out of your way to try to make me any money. You're not putting your all into this. I'm paying you for 8 hours work every day, and you're not giving me 8 hours every day. But you want to get paid." So I can say, well, you know, I'm going to let you go. Messiah says he wants our all. And if we don't give him our all, then he's going to say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I didn't know you. You're not the one I was looking for. You didn't hear my voice. So as we, you know, as you go through this discipleship series, you know, I want to make sure that these things are understood. Because the scriptures, you know, they are just plain. But everybody's not going to hear it and understand. They're going to read these same scriptures, and it's just not going to sink in and click. Why? Because it's not in their heart to actually do it. That's why I said this New Testament is written in such a way to reveal what's in your heart. It's written that way. If it's in your heart not to obey the statutes, laws, and the commandments and the judgments of the Most High, you will find the scriptures that seem to tell you that, and you will interpret them that way, because that's what's in your heart. But if it's in your heart to serve him with your whole heart and to give him your all, then you'd be like, why wouldn't I obey every word that comes out of his mouth? Why wouldn't I keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments, and his judgments and his ordinances? Why would I not do everything that he says if it's in your heart? And that's what a lot of people don't understand about this gospel and about this scripture. The test is what's in your heart. Your actions tell what's in your heart, what you do and what you don't do, not what you say. So let's jump into the helmet of salvation, because this helmet of salvation was really given to us, number one, so that we would know what salvation is, that we might know that we're saved, so that we might serve him with our whole hearts, because we understand what he did for us. We understand, you know, the Elohim, the creator of the universe, stepped into time and allowed his creation to kill him so that his creation, man in his creation, could come back to him, could have a relationship with him and be at peace with him. And when we have that, then we know that there is nothing impossible for us, that we can do anything through him, and that he hears our prayers, and that he will answer us as long as we are within his will. See, a lot of people read those scriptures, and I have been looking for this for a long time. So it's like, I know the scriptures say that where there's two or three of us that are gathered together, there shall he be. And whatever we ask of him, he will do for us, whatever we agree upon. But that's not the totality of what he's saying, because then in John chapter 5, it's according to his will. Whatever we shall ask according to his will, not according to what we want, but according to what his will is. So we got to know what his will is, so that we pray correctly. We're not praying amiss for a bunch of stuff, or praying for stuff that we ought not pray for. Just saying some words. But it's according to his will. Then he says he will give us what we ask for. So, you know, where does two or three of us gather together? Whatever we agree on touching, and we ask for it according to his will. And so we have to understand that. If not, we'll read those verses and we'll say, hey, where there's two or three of us gathered together, whatever we shall touch and agree upon, he says he will give it to us. Whatever it is, he'll give it to us. But that's not the total of the scripture. And so our job is to find out what is the will of the Most High, and what does he want done in this earth, and pray that he gives us what we need to do, what he has given us to do. I pray we can hear that. All right, the helmet of salvation. By definition, helmet, by the Webster's definition, a covering or an enclosing headpiece of ancient or medieval armor. Any of various protective head coverings, usually made of hard material to resist impact. So a helmet is designed to protect your head. And when, you know, we wear one when we're riding a bicycle or a motorcycle, in case we get hit or thrown off and we hit our head, we have something between our head and that hard ground. Okay, when it comes to salvation, this is to withstand all of those jacked up, hard doctrines that people are teaching that sound good. They tickle our ears, but then they don't actually bring us into salvation. They don't actually bring us into the will of the Most High. They will have us believing a lie because they sound good. The enemy uses it all the time. You know, do you believe in creationism versus Darwinism? Do you believe in spirituality? I'm a spiritual being. I'm a spirit, not a spiritual being. I'm a spiritualist. And, yeah, I'm going to say spiritual being, but you're not believing in the Most High. You're believing in the spirit of man and other spirits influencing. You're believing in the stars, the moon, and the sun. influencing. You're believing that you were born at a certain time of the year, and it influences your personality in your life. You're believing that man is the answer for man. You're not believing that the Most High created everything that way. If you don't believe that, and you believe that we evolved from some primordial soup, and we, you know, grew out of some one cell organism, and became man, then you take the Most High out of the picture, and so you don't have to believe all that. And if you don't believe all that, then it's going to cause you to miss him, to miss his gospel, to miss salvation. It's going to cause you to your mind to be consumed with so many different things that you miss what's most important. That everything that man says concerning the Big Bang Theory and all this stuff is just a theory. Something somebody thought up and said, hey, this is what looks like happened. But just like you have never seen the Most High, they never saw the Big Bang. They are believing in it out of faith, saying, I see some things, and because I see these certain things, I believe that this is the way that it happened. But when the scriptures tell us, and the Most High tells us that, hey, I created everything. I spoke it into the existence. I called light, and it came forth. I told the waters to recede and the earth to come forth from under the waters, the dry ground. I don't want to believe that. You got to take the same amount of faith. But because it's not given to them, then they won't believe it. They'll believe what man says, but they won't believe what the creator of man says. So we got to understand that helmet and that salvation. You got to understand that the creator of the universe loved you so much that he would come himself, lower himself. Think about that. Lower himself so that you could reestablish your relationship with him, so that you and I could be at peace with him, that gospel of peace. That we can learn of his way, that we might be found pleasing in his eyes because we do what he says to do. Not that we're trying to do it. Oh, that's a good one right there. It's trying. Look how he tries. Most I says, no. I'm looking for those that are doers. Doers, not triers, but doers of my word with your whole heart. You need this helmet of salvation to protect you from all this other stuff. You need to know that you're saved. You need to know that you're out of his wrath, because that's what salvation is. It's being from under his wrath. Y'all have been disobedient, and my way is to destroy everything that is disobedient to me. But you are the apple of my eye. You are my crown jewel. You are most precious to me. You are my child. So I'm going to make a way for you. You transgressed. Anything else that transgressed? All right, those angels, they don't get to repent. Satan stopped doing what he was supposed to do and start trying to get worship himself. I didn't create him to do that. That fool believed his own lies. Lucifer, the most perfect being I could create without giving him holiness, was created with every precious metal and every instrument, and was created to praise me. And when he played and when he sang, all attention was on him and he forgot who he was praising. He forgot his purpose. And he corrupted himself. Start desiring to be worshipped like I'm worshipped. He's singing praises to me, or supposed to be, and everybody's in heaven is clapping their hands and singing praise with him and glorying and giving me all honor due me, and he's thinking it's coming to him. So you need something on your head. You need something in your mind to help you, protect you against all this stuff. And this is knowing that you are at peace with me. Knowing what it takes to become at peace with me and knowing that you have done it. Because if you haven't done it, then you're not at peace with me. You're going to see my wrath. So let's go to 1 John chapter 5. Because you are supposed to know whether you are saved or not. And if you know that you are saved, you should walk in that. I'm saved. The Most High chose me. He called me and chose me. He filled me with his spirit. First John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you, These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of Elohim, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, I'm going to say this in another way. Well, I'll finish reading this, and I'll say it in another way. That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of Elohim. That you may know. But understand this. Whether you are good or you are bad, you're going to receive eternal life. Because everybody's going to receive eternal life. Some to everlasting joy, and some to everlasting punishment. Eternal life. But we want to know that we have eternal life in him. That believe on his name. Because if you believe on his name, then surely you would obey his voice. If you love me, keep my commandments. You would obey him. You would do everything that he says to do. He says, you can't love anybody more than me. Not even your own self. You have to seek me with your whole heart. You have to forsake all that you have. Got to give it up for my sake, for my kingdom's sake, to get into my kingdom and not on the bad end of the kingdom, not in that lake of fire. I love those that love me and keep my commandments. I don't love everybody. I love those that love me. And if you love me, keep my commandments. And the first commandment I gave you was to keep my commandments. Before I told you anything, I said, you need to obey my voice. You need to do what I say do before I tell you anything. The first commandment is, keep my commandments. Okay, Most High, now what are they? Thou shalt have no other Elohim before me. Thou shalt not have an image, create an image of anything in the heavens or the earth or the waters beneath or beneath the earth that you think looks like me and bow down yourself to it. You won't do those things. You're not going to take my name and say you belong to me and then disobey me. That's to take my name in vain. Not believe what I say that I'm going to do either way. So you got to believe. You got to know. And you can know. If these things happen to you, if you do what he says to do, these things will happen to you. And you can know. You don't have to have faith at that place because you know. And all you got to do is know, I'm going to continue to walk. I'm going to continue to walk in my salvation. I'm not going to do anything to jeopardize this. When the Most High filled Saul with his spirit, and Saul was filled with the spirit of the Most High, with the Ruach HaKodesh. And when Saul was disobedient, the Most High left him, and replaced himself with an evil spirit. I'm going to send an evil spirit to you now, because you were disobedient. What makes us think the Most High won't send an evil spirit to us for being disobedient? He's not a respecter of persons. So if he'll do it to Saul for disobedience, what makes you think that he won't send one to you or I? Say we love him and then cuss out our mate. Say we love him and then beat up our spouse. Say we love him and be all kind of ungodly. And at the same time professing that we love him, that's an evil spirit. We struggle. And we want to be good. And we want to hear from him. Saul wanted to hear so bad. What did he do? Went to some witches. He knew, and he had already told his people, kill all the witches in the land. And after he had told them to kill all the witches in the land, he disobeyed the Most High, and the Most High stopped talking to him. The Most High stopped letting the prophet talk to him. And Saul wanted to hear from the Most High so bad. He says, y'all find me a witch. I need somebody that has the ability to raise somebody from the dead. I need to speak to Samuel. I need a word. And I don't care if I got to do something evil to get it. What makes us think that the Most High won't do the same to us? Because he said, I have rejected Saul. Rejected him because he didn't walk in his ways. He didn't obey. He forgot who his salvation is. He forgot who his king is. He forgot whose seat he was sitting in. Most I said, that's my seat. I'm the king of Israel. You're going to sit in my seat by proxy. He forgot. If he ever knew. And the Most High left him. So when people say that they are saved forever, the Messiah died for all their sins forever, the scriptures don't bear that out. Not even in the New Testament, not even in the gospel of Messiah, not even in your salvation. I came and I died for your sins. I allowed you to kill me, my creation to kill me, that I could pay the price that I demanded. They couldn't pay their own price. I paid the price that I demanded. And then you're not going to value that enough. You're not going to place such a high value that you're going to go back into your sin. The very thing that I came and died for, you're going to go back and do it again and say that he said, if I confess it, he is true and just to forgive me. Your mindset ought to be, even if that were true 100%, the mindset should be is, I don't want to offend. I don't want to transgress. And I'm not going to willfully do something that I know is wrong. That should be your mindset. Most I know this is wrong. I sure want to do it, but I know it's wrong. But, you know, you'll have to forgive me. Mindset should be, I'm not going to do it because I know that it's wrong. And I know that if I transgress, I am transgressing against him. But those verses, and that's the mentality of people. That's the mentality. But the Most High says, no, that's not altogether the truth. But I'm not going to let them hear the truth. I'm going to let them read those scriptures, and in their mind, they're going to understand that no matter what they do, I will forgive them. Even when they are willfully disobedient, I will forgive them. But that's not what my word says, but that's what I'm going to allow them to believe. Because they really don't have on the helmet of salvation. Because if they had on the helmet of salvation, then they would understand that they are simply saved because of what I did, and they will not transgress and bring themselves back into that. They will know that. They will have understanding. They will be able to perceive. Nope, not going back down that street. I will not transgress against my Savior. This word, helmet, in the Greek is per ekef alaya, and it has Yah. It's like you have your head protected by Yah, your head wrapped with Yah, with the Most High. He's that protection over your mind. He's that protection over your brain. So that you don't receive something that's going to mortally wound you. So that you don't hear something and go astray. Just keep your focus on him and he will direct your path. He's in control of your mind. He's covering your mind. Within that word, Yah is your covering. Yah is your protection. The helmet of salvation consists of knowing that we are at peace with Yah. and saved from his wrath. When you know what the Most High is going to do, and he says, I'm going to do terrible things to those who are in my wrath. You don't want to see my anger. We got to understand what we are saved from. Our sins are what get us into trouble. Well, once we are in trouble, we are in trouble. And it's who we're in trouble with. You are in trouble with the most powerful being anywhere. Anywhere. You don't want to piss him off. You don't want to make him mad. You don't want to disrespect him in the littlest way. So it'll be just straight up disobedient. We got to be some kind of stupid. We got to not be knowing who we're dealing with. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Who and what are we saved from? Because if you don't know this, then you really are going through the motions. And if you think it's, you know, your sins, yeah, that's what gets you there, but who's going to get you? Who's going to make you pay? Who's going to punish you? Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of Elohim is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Ungodliness is not acting like the Most High. Ungodliness is being unrighteous, being a lawbreaker. Against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. So his wrath is going to be revealed. Let's look up this word wrath. And I actually want to get this from three places. Give me a hot second because I didn't look this up before. Look it up in the Old Testament. And let's go to Exodus chapter 32. We're going to get this word from Exodus chapter 32 and verse 11. Why does thy wrath, that word in the Hebrew, is ah, A-P-H, ah, properly the nose or the nostril, hence the face, and occasionally a person also, rapid breathing in passion, anger, before continence, face forbearing, forehead, long or suffering, nose, nostril, snout. Worthy or wrath. Okay, this is us making the Most High make a long, you know, an angry sound through his nostrils, like, how dare you? And he's angry. So another word for that is anger. But it's the kind of anger that is, I'm extremely mad. I'm angry. Passionately angry. That I'm breathing hard. You got me breathing rapid. I'm so mad. I'm huffing and I'm puffing. This is his wrath. And so we got to understand that this is what we are saved from. He says, you don't want to see me in this condition. You don't want to see me full of anger at you. in our society. Today we have created an Elohim in our own image, after our own likeness, and put forth the doctrine that Elohim is love, and only love, and would thus never punish sin. But the truth is, Elohim will judge all who have ever repented, who have never repented. In Mashiach, he's going to punish everybody. They're going to see his wrath. The wrath of Elohim still abides on all who have not yet believed in Mashiach. And even those that have believed in Mashiach and then willfully sinned. John 3:36. Let's go there. The book of John, chapter 3. Well, hold on. Let's go to the New Testament. And let's look up the word wrath. That was the Hebrew that I gave you. Let's look up the Greek. Go to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7. The book of Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned thee to flee from the wrath to come? See, the prophets all know that mankind is going to see the wrath of the Most High. And this is what you are repenting of, and this is what you are repenting for, that you don't see this wrath. That word in the Greek is orge, O-R-G-A-Y, orge, from G 37:13. Properly desired as a reaching forth or excitement of the mind. By analogy, violent passion. Ear or justifiable abhorrence. By implication, punishment, anger, indignation, vengeance, wrath. So this is violent anger. He's going to take out on the earth and on those people on the earth who are wicked, who are unrighteous. They're going to see his wrath. Truly unrepentant sinners who don't seek him with their whole heart, who don't understand that it takes all. It takes all to appease him, to make him happy, to be at peace with him. Who don't realize that if they stay in their weakness, if they stay doing what they were doing and saying, well, I'm trying, it's not acceptable to him. He doesn't make provision for that. Because I understand what your weaknesses are. But when you come to me, all that stuff is out the window. Because you're supposed to consider the cost, what it's going to take you to serve me. You know your weaknesses when you came to me. And you know that you were going to have to do better than you've been doing. And if you fail, let it be for something that you don't know that you're supposed to be doing. Or not doing. So, violent passion, anger. People don't understand how mad the Most High is. How dare something in my creation disobey me? And only because you are my child. Am I having compassion? Am I even having mercy? Come talk to these angels. Ask them what they know is coming. They know how I am. And those that were foolish enough, ask them if I let them repent. Ask them if I let them say they're sorry. No, I prepared a place for them with a special fire in it that torments spirits. This is a spiritual fire. It's designed to torment spirits. Ask them. They already know that what I do, I don't play. And you want to be in my wrath? Proverbs chapter 11. The book of Proverbs chapter 11. And we're going to get verse 4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. You don't want to see his wrath? And you know you have to be righteous. We know that to be righteous means that we are keeping his statutes, his laws, his commandments, and his judgments and his ordinances. We are doing what he said to do. We are doing right by him, according to what he says is right, not what we say is right. What he says is right. We judge by his standards. And it don't matter how much money we have, we can't buy our way out of being unrighteous. Can't give to every charity and still be doing wickedness and thinking that, you know, because we had the money and we did it, that he's going to overlook our unrighteousness. So there's no amount of money to remove the wrath of Elohim, but only the precious blood of Yeshua does this. Any rich person, anybody who has the means to think that they can buy their way out of the wrath of the Most High, has to know that they can't. That you can't bribe me. There's nothing that you have that I need. Only thing I want from you, and I don't need it, but I want from you is your obedience. Your all, your obedience. No amount of good works will ever save us. Elohim sees our best efforts. So it's by his grace, but also by us obeying his voice. After we have come back to him, after we accepted Messiah, there is, the scripture says that there is not one of us that is good. No, not one. But him. We all fall short. But when we come to him, we have to be coming back to him with our whole heart. When we were in the world, we fell short. Now that we know who we are serving and we know that he does terrible things, we don't dare fall short. We don't dare willfully disobey. And when we do fall short, it's a terrible thing for us. It is a scary thing for us. It's not something that we take lightly. And we repent of it. We show that we have godly sorrow and we turn away from it. Most, I didn't know that that was wrong. I didn't know I shouldn't be doing that, or I didn't know I should be doing that. From this day forward, I'm going to obey your voice in this thing also. Because had I known, I would have already been doing it or not doing it. Just that's acceptable. That's acceptable with him. So we repent of it. And Messiah said, you can bring that up under the blood. Because you didn't do it knowingly. You didn't do it willfully. You can put that up under the blood, and I will forgive you. You're not going to see my wrath. See, in the kingdom, what we fail to understand in the kingdom, there are some people whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, but they're still subject to the second death. That's everybody that gets up in the second resurrection, which is the vast majority of people. They didn't give their life. They didn't prove their loyalty to the fullest by having to lay down their life for him. They weren't tested till the fullness of the measure. But they're still subject to the lake of fire. So if they sin, after they've entered into the kingdom, if they sin, guess what happens? Judgment comes quickly. And they go from being in the kingdom on the joyful side to being in the kingdom in the lake. That's why he says they're still subject to the lake of fire. Only those who get up during the first resurrection are not subject to the lake. Everybody that's name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, even when they're in the kingdom, if they mess up and they do something willfully wrong, straight to the lake. There is no, I'm sorry. There is no, I'm sorry, I'll repent. No, that system is out of the way. That's why he has all the nations coming up to see him every Sabbath and every new moon. Coming to Jerusalem and looking on everybody who's in the lake. Let's go get this. Let's go to Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 66. And let's start in verse 22, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22, so we understand that this is the kingdom, and this is when Messiah and Most High is ruling. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith Yah, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yah. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. So the reminder is to those individuals who came up in the second resurrection, who are in the kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth has been made. You transgress. To keep you from transgressing, I'm going to cause you to come up every Sabbath in every new moon. And look upon those people in the lake. You want to join them? Then get bold and mess up. Get foolish and mess up. Now it's immediately to the lake. There ain't no, I'm sorry. There ain't no, let me repent. There ain't no, oh, I fell and made a mistake. Because everybody's going to have his laws written in their heart and in their minds. And they're going to know that he is king over all the earth. And they're going to know that if they transgress, this is the penalty. Death, hell, and the grave, guess where they're at? In that same lake that they're looking at those carcasses. That's where death, hell, and the grave are at. So they don't exist. So y'all come up here and worship me, and on your way, look in the lake. Look at all those souls that were transgressors. It's a reminder. Don't you get it in the mind that you want to transgress. So we got to know this. Go to Psalms chapter 2, the book of Psalms chapter 2. Let's get verse 12. Kiss the Son, S-O-N, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. Kiss Messiah, lest he be angry. They don't know Messiah like this. And you perish in the way. For his wrath, his anger, is quickly kindled. Quickly. Can we hear this? Is this the Messiah that you've been told about? Kiss him, lest he be angry. And you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. He's not going to be taking, says he's going to be ruling with a rod of iron. All those that rule with him have to rule with a rod of iron. And he's not going to be all this understanding. I pray we can hear this. Your helmet of salvation is to protect you so that you know who he is, what you were saved from, what he will and will not do. That you have truth. That you can walk in your salvation and you don't take it for granted. To protect you from all this nonsense out here that might sound good. But really what it will do is get you in trouble. Let's go to Psalms chapter 7. The book of Psalms chapter 7. And let's get verse 11. Psalms chapter 7 and verse 11. Elohim judges the righteous. He looks at us and he judges us on our merit, whether we're doing good. And Elohim is angry with the wicked every day. His anger don't abate for them that don't obey him. That's why it's best when we repent that we stay out of his way. Because it would be better for you that you were wicked and then repented than you to be good and then turn wicked. That you would, it would be better for you if not knowing who and what he, how he is. But scripture says, if a righteous man turns and does unrighteousness, all of his righteousness is forgotten. You dare to transgress? Everything that you did right, I forgot it. Now what I'm seeing is your unrighteousness, and I'm going to deal with you from that standpoint. And if you were unrighteous and you repented and turned to do righteousness and only righteousness, he said, I'm going to forget all your wickedness. So I don't know if it's better to start off in the second, you know, the second way. But once you become righteous, you don't want to go back and become unrighteous. That's for sure. You do not want to become unrighteous because he says all that good you did, you just threw it away. Now all I see is your unrighteousness. And he's angry with the unrighteous, with the wicked every day. Not just sometimes. So when he comes to do his deal, when he comes to take out his wrath on the wicked, you don't want to be one of them. You really don't. Now, imagine this. You are super angry. That's what wrath means. Super angry. And you hold in your anger. And you hold it for, you're going to take out all of your anger in one day. And you're going to let it spew out. If you ever been a parent, and if you were the type that when your children did wrong, that you didn't correct them right away, but you let these things build up. They did this wrong, then they did that wrong. You didn't get them. They did this wrong, they did that wrong. You didn't get them. Then all of a sudden you get them for 10 things they did wrong. You just burst. And you hit them, you ain't care where you hit them at. Because they had just made you so mad that now it don't matter. You just want to hurt them now. It's not about discipline. And so the Most High says, if they come in, I'm not going to try to correct you anymore. I'm not going to try to discipline you. I'm not going to try to correct your behavior. I'm not going to be doing something and this, what I'm about to do to you is supposed to correct your behavior. This is meant to hurt you. So I might cut you in half. I might behead you. The worst is going to happen is I'm going to kill you. How I kill you, that's however, wherever I hit you at. That's the kind of anger he's coming with. And he's not going to be caring. I ain't trying to correct you now. The time of correction is over. Now I'm trying to hurt you. That's why I said people don't understand that there's a difference between punishment and discipline. And when the Most High is disciplining us, it's because he still cares. It's because he's trying to correct us. When we move from discipline to punishment, he no longer cares. Now you see in his wrath, his anger. He says, so this wrath is building up. Before, I used to get y'all right away. And my anger would be kindled. My anger would be kindled, and then I would satisfy it. But now I've been letting it build up for 2,000 years. So 2,000 years plus of anger, he's going to let loose. That's what you're saved from. That's what you're saved from. That's what your helmet of salvation is for, to protect you from this stuff that would make you see his wrath, that would influence you and say, yeah, I can do that and get away with it. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because, and we're going to get verse 6, I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of Elohim comes upon the sons of disobedience. The wrath of Elohim comes upon the sons of disobedience. So how we're going to say that we're saved, and then we are being disobedient? How are we going to say that we're saved and we're not obeying his commandments? We're not being righteous in his eyes. We're not doing right in his eyes. How are we going to say that we are his children when we don't think that we have to keep his commandments? We don't think we have to keep his laws. We don't think that his judgments are righteous. So this day is coming, and when he does it this time, I think it is time to do a precept on that. The day of Yah, the day that he comes to take out his anger. He says, I did it before, and I did it by a flood. And I found one righteous man in all the earth. And because he was obedient, he condemned all of mankind to the flood. And I killed all but 8 people in the entire world. And it's not like it was just 10 people in the world. So he only killed 2 people. The earth was populated. And they were living longer. Up to 900 years. You can make a lot of babies in 900 years. You can make a lot of babies in 600 years, 300 years, 200 years, 100 years. The earth was very populated. And he destroyed all but 8 people. Took out his wrath. I'm so angry at y'all. I'm going to kill all y'all but these 8. So we got to understand that we are saved from his wrath. What he's going to do. Go to Romans chapter 2. The book of Romans chapter 2. Skip verse 5. Romans chapter 2 and verse 5. But because of your heart and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when Elohim's righteousness judgment, when Elohim's righteous judgment will be revealed. The day of wrath. That day of wrath lasts about 3.5 years. 3.5 years of kicking behind. Killing the wicked. Killing all those who don't want to give him their all. He's storing it up for that day. So we got to know what we are saved from. You won't sin if you know what you're going to see. So maybe you slide through this life because he didn't come back. He didn't come back while you were living and you lived a wicked life. You didn't escape his wrath. You know, because this lake of fire, truthfully speaking, really, truthfully cannot be a joke. Cannot be a plaything for the Most High to say, I made a perfect way to take out my wrath. Oh, y'all think it's funny. Wait till I give you eternal life and throw you in that fire and you jumping around like a Mexican jumping bean, squirming around because you can't get away from the pain. It don't ever, you stop burning you. And you don't ever stop feeling the pain and you don't pass out. And you don't become numb. Because I'm going to have my day. Revelation chapter 14. The book of Revelation chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. These are all the people that take the mark of the beast, who are weak, who love their lives more than they love the Most High, who love their husband more than they love the Most High, who love their boyfriend more than they love the Most High, who love their girlfriend more than they love the Most High, who love their boyfriend more than they love the Most High, who love their child more than they love the Most High, who love anything or anyone more than they love the Most High. They're going to take this mark. Their name is not going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not going to be written there. He also will drink the wine of Elohim's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day or night. These worshipers of the beast and its image. And whosoever receives the mark of his name. Now let me read that from the KJV. Basically says the same thing, but the same shall drink of the wrath of Elohim, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. So there's a time coming, and it's coming soon. Whoever receives the mark of the beast, they are automatically condemned to the lake. Automatically. Don't care how much they said they love the Most High. They love their life more. They took the mark. They are condemned. That's what he says. And their torment goes up forever and ever. Let's go to John chapter 3. Last verses. John chapter 3 and verse 36. Whosoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whosoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of Elohim remains on him. Messiah said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. How say do you love me and do not what I say to do? We are saved from his wrath. The helmet of salvation is to keep you in a sound mind with an understanding of who your Savior is and what it is required to keep your salvation. Yah is required. His word should be in your mind. He should be the one protecting you. He should be guiding you. And you should be obeying his voice. And so that when the wiles of the devil come, when Satan wants to attack you, when Satan wants, you know, to sift you as wheat, that you be able to protect yourself. When he comes to seduce you, that you'll be able to protect yourself. And even if he throws a brick at you and hits you in the head, it won't have an impact because you will have padding. Your mind will be protected. You won't fall for the okey-doke. You'll be doing what Messiah said. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Elohim. You'll be using your sword to defend yourself. So with that being said, I pray that we understand that the helmet of salvation is used to protect our minds from all these different doctrines that are going around that would lead us down the false path, that would set up a false expectation for us, that would make us think that we serve an Elohim that is weak, that he's a respecter of persons, that would make us think that we have favor where we have none, that would not make us fear being disobedient, that we would not believe those things that would allow us to walk in those ways where we would not fear him. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you on tonight. We thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for allowing us to understand that we are saved from you, O Father, from your anger, from your wrath, that you have placed us in that secret place, that we would not anger you, that we won't see you doing, or we won't receive from you what you're going to do to the wicked. Father, help us. Help us, help us, help us, help us, help us, help us to be strong in you. Lead us not into temptation. Father, keep the enemy away from us. Know that we will serve you with our whole heart. We are convicted, Father. And another will we not serve, and we will give our all to you. Help us to stay in that vein, Father. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen and amen. All right. On tomorrow morning, we will do the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. What we fight with. The word of the Most High. And the new moon is on the 29th of this month, the 29th. So we will have the new moon service on the 29th of May. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. Cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Can't do for you what the Most High will do for you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, family. Enjoy your Sabbath this evening. Get your rest. Spend some time with the Most High. Shalom. Okay.
What can I do?